I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting,
everlasting rock. I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock. Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Welcome to the Voice of Hope. Maybe you've been reading the Bible for a long time, or perhaps you're new to this idea of following Jesus. Here on the Voice of Hope, we're all about providing clear and simple Bible teaching so that you can grow as a follower of Jesus. The Voice of Hope is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international ministry using media to make disciples of Jesus Christ through biblical teaching and Bible distribution. As this is the last broadcast of 2024, I thought I should give you an update on the ministry. Financially, we have been very blessed, and you have been very generous with our year-end fund campaign. If you would like to give and have not done so yet, there's still time. You can go to our website at heraldsofhope.org, or you can send it by mail. Just make sure it's postmarked by 12/31. At the time of this recording, it looks like we may actually end the year in the black. For this, we praise God and thank you for your generosity. We have had the privilege of adding dedicated and talented people to our team, and they have been developing new languages and new avenues of ministry. As of the end of the year, we have distributed over 125,000 Bibles and audio Bibles. We have begun Bible teaching in three new languages and added two new international stations with our existing content. It's certainly a time to rejoice and praise the Lord.
Oh, worship the King, O glorious above. O gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
O tell of His might, O sing of His grace, whose role is as hand, whose banner be space.
His chariots of wrath a deep thunder clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm.
Thy bountiful care what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain.
Frail children of dust and in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer and Friend.
Now, here is our Bible teacher, Jamar Horst, with a teaching that will set our minds on the year ahead.
The beginning of a new year is often a time for looking ahead. What are you anticipating in the year 2025? You know, the future can be exciting, but in some ways it can also be scary. There's so much that you and I can't know about the future, and sometimes the unknown is frightening to us. You and I may have fears of bad things happening to us. Maybe fears of nuclear war, or perhaps a fear of having an accident that will leave us unable to care for ourselves. Possibly like me, your age is advancing, and you fear memory loss or a decrease in your physical strength. Or maybe the dreaded word cancer is a real fear for you. But I want to remind you of something. Those kinds of fears don't come from God. No, those fears come from our enemy, Satan. He wants to use those fears to discourage, to distract, and to defeat you. He wants to do the same to me. So he brings all kinds of fears, either real or imaginary. He wants to remove our focus from God and put it on ourselves. Now, in contrast to the doubt and fear that the devil brings to us, God offers peace. Now, that doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to us. We do live in a fallen world. But it does mean that God is with us whatever we face. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. And Romans 8:28 tells us, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose." Now, I know some people think that's a tired cliche, but I assure you, it's a promise you and I can count on. Today, I have some words of hope for you from the Holy Scriptures. If you're a follower of Jesus, then these words should comfort you. If you're not a follower of Jesus, this message should strike fear into your heart. And I pray that that fear would motivate you to become a follower of Christ. Nothing would bring me more joy than to have you become a child of God and to begin the new year with him. And God spells out for us in his word how we can learn to know him in a personal way. So today, we go to the book of Psalms for encouragement and instruction. I've titled my teaching, Living a Godly Life. And so I invite you to listen carefully as I read the very first psalm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Looking at this psalm, I want you to see three differences with me between the godly and the wicked that will help you know the joy of living a godly life. The first difference that we want to explore is express a different delight. Did you notice the contrast in verses 1 and 2? The ungodly person accepts the advice of the wicked. When he has a decision to make, he seeks the advice of those who will tell him the things he wants to hear. He approves the behavior of those people who regularly disobey God, and he holds them in high regard. He counts them as his friends, and he delights in those who mock God and mock God's laws. But if you're a godly person, you're different. You shun the advice of the ungodly, and their wickedness is a grief to you. And you have only pity for the scornful because you know what their end is. Your delight is in God's law. That's God's word. You know, when the psalmist wrote these words, all he had were the books of Moses. And that delight in the word of God puts you on a completely different path than the wicked. In God's word, we find direction for life's choices for all of us. Let's take a moment to think about some of these differences. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 57:20, "The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." The wicked have no peace because they're constantly seeking some new form of wickedness to delight in. They have no peace because sin never satisfies the human heart's longing for satisfaction or fulfillment or joy or acceptance. And you know, that's why the actions of the wicked become increasingly unnatural and depraved, because sin doesn't satisfy. And then wicked people delight in each other's company. They urge each other on, each one trying to outdo the other. And then when there are no immediate consequences from civil authorities or from God, then they scoff at the thought of judgment. But Ecclesiastes 11:8 says, "Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Surely you and I can see the results of this in our society today. Now, we expect wicked people to show contempt for God's law, but what grieves me is that we find contempt for God's law even among those who profess to follow Christ. So many leaders in organized religion today are stumbling over each other in their haste to accept all forms of behavior and claim that they're acceptable to God. Whether it's adultery, divorce and remarriage, sodomy, covetousness, gluttony, and a whole host of other things, these sins are increasing in the church. And anyone who calls these leaders back to God's standard of righteousness is accused of several things. Maybe taking the scriptures too literally, or being harsh, or unloving, or out of touch with the times we live in. But you know, as I said earlier, the godly person is different. He delights in God's law. He knows that following the desires of his flesh doesn't bring freedom, but slavery. I can tell you that from personal experience. A godly person discovers the commands God has given for living are for the blessing of mankind, not for his destruction. The godly person knows that physical life is only a moment compared to eternity. And so he understands that the choices he's making now have eternal consequences. He ponders the truth of God's word, and he asks the Holy Spirit to reveal areas where he needs cleansing and spiritual growth. His delight is in becoming more like his Heavenly Father. Which of these persons best represents you? Have you identified yourself with the ungodly? Do you mock God and those who choose to follow in his way? Or maybe you appear on the outside to be a follower of Christ, and yet secretly you delight in the ways of the wicked. I certainly hope and pray that doesn't describe you, because you know if it does, you're only fooling yourself. God can see right into the core of your heart and mind. He even knows what you think. You can't hide anything from him. If what I just said describes you, I hope you'll keep listening to the end of my teaching, because there you will learn the fate that is waiting for you unless you repent. Or, on the opposite side, do you delight in God's law and use it as a guide for your daily living? I hope that's your choice. Do you make it your goal to please Jesus in everything you do? Do you cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he performs his work of transforming your desires? You know, none of us is perfect, but are you developing a spirit of wanting to do what is right? If that's your experience, I can tell you there are great things ahead for you. You are learning to express a different delight, and that delight will result in you living a godly life. The second difference, then, we want to notice between the godly and the ungodly is they expect a different development. The following contrast between the godly and the wicked is found in verses 3 and 4. The godly person who delights in God's law and lives by its commands is described as a tree planted by the river. The waters of the river nourish the tree. The tree's roots sink deep into the fertile soil. They gather the nutrients that bring stability and growth and fruitfulness. And the winds of life do not easily sway them because they're anchored in the truth. Jeremiah describes the godly this way: "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease yielding fruit." That's Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. And the fruitfulness of the godly is perpetual. It doesn't end. Their leaves don't wither because continual life flows through their inner being. Their delight in the Lord sustains them when all around them is drying up from the lack of water. And whatever they do moves them toward their goal. Their reason for living is to be more like the Heavenly Father. Does that describe you? And if you're godly, you have a favored position because of your delight in the Lord. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in John chapter 14 and verse 23. Listen to what he said. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. There is no greater joy than having the presence of God Almighty living within you. The true and living God, the God of the Bible, is holy. And because he is holy, he cannot stand sin. Sin is an offense to him, and it must be punished. His anger, his wrath against sin was satisfied at Calvary when Jesus died on the cross. He is a God who loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die in your place. Jesus took the punishment you deserve. Now, when you accept by faith the sacrifice that Jesus made for you, you too can be accepted into God's family. You can belong to him in a personal way. He will forgive your sin. You become his child, and he becomes your Savior, your Lord, and your Master. Your life will be fruitful and worthwhile. It will have a new meaning and purpose. It will count for something. That's the development of the righteous. Now again, I warn you, that doesn't mean your life will be easy. No, indeed. From beginning to end, the Scriptures remind us that the godly will suffer persecution at the hands of the ungodly. And historically, the apostate church has persecuted the true church. Think of the 1500s and the time of the Reformation, when many of the reformers were drowned or burned at the stake or executed in some other brutal way. But then what about the wicked? What is their development? Our text says they're like chaff. Chaff, it's the outer husks that cover the kernel of grain. What's it suitable for? Nothing. It's waste. It's worthless. It's blown away by the wind when the grain is winnowed. Dusty, irritating, something to be discarded. That's the description of the wicked, and that's what they have to look forward to. That's the development from delighting in wickedness. Not only that, but the Bible tells us that the chaff will be burnt with fire. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. That's Isaiah 5, verse 24. All the pleasure, all the fun, all the excitement, all of the thrill of the forbidden that the wicked experience, it will all be gone in a moment. No lasting fruit. And then what? That moves us to our final difference. And that final difference between the godly and the ungodly is accept a different destiny. Look at verses 5 and 6. The tragedy of foolish choices, of identifying with the wicked for a moment of pleasure, and the tragedy of thinking there's safety in numbers. It all comes to nothing at the judgment. And make no mistake, judgment will come. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28 tell us, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." So that's the contrast. The psalm writer says the ungodly shall perish. Not maybe, not perhaps. They shall perish. They will stand condemned by their own choices. Even some of those who thought they were following Jesus will go away into everlasting punishment. And John the Baptist spoke these words at the baptism of Jesus. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who comes after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's Matthew 3:11-12. But the righteous, what about them? Verse 6 says, "The Lord knows the way of the righteous." 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." I pray that you are one of those whose heart is loyal to the Lord. Because the righteous refused to delight in the way of the wicked, God now delights in them. He knows them as his very own. Because the blasphemy of ungodly men grieved them, they now rejoice in the commendation of their Father. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." God accepts the righteous because they have chosen in faith to obey his word. They were willing to come to the cross of Christ and voluntarily confess their sin and their need for a Savior. They then surrendered the control of their lives to him. He became their master and Lord. And because they delighted in him through the trials and struggles of life, he will delight in them and give them a home with him in heaven. And they will live and reign with him forever and ever. What a glorious destiny awaits those who delight in the Lord. What a stark contrast. Eternal punishment or eternal glory. And today, you can still choose. If you're living an ungodly life, you can change, not on your own strength, but by the power of God. If you're already a follower of Christ, you can be challenged to draw closer to him, to delight in him more fully. That's what I want. You can choose what you will delight in, the way of the wicked or the way of the Lord. But once you make that choice, your life will take on a predetermined development and destiny. If you choose the way of the ungodly, then sorrow and heartache will be the fruit that develops in your life. And unless you repent, destruction will be your end. Or you can choose to delight in God and his word. You can experience the development of lasting fruit, righteousness, peace, and joy. And you will reach the destiny of the righteous. A glorious eternity will be your reward. So now you know how to live a godly life. The choice is yours. It's not a choice to be made lightly because eternity hangs in the balance. I pray you will choose wisely and live wisely in the year 2025.
Walk with me, walk with me, lest mine eyes no longer see all the glory, all the story of your love. Talk to me, like you spoke so tenderly when you talk there, when you walk there by the sea. Talk with me, talk with me, lest mine ears no longer hear all the wonder, all the beauty of your grace. Walk with me, walk with me, as you walk so lovingly, when you walk there, when you talk there by the sea. Let me follow in the footsteps that trod the shore of Galilee.
me learn to pray like he did in the garden of Gethsemane. Understand all my duty, all the beauty of your love. All my duty, all the beauty.
Thank you, J. Mark, for teaching us from Psalm 1. We certainly have a lot to be thankful for from the past year. As we look forward to the new year in a few days, I pray that you will flourish like a tree by the river, drawing your life from Jesus, who is the water of life. If you would like to hear this program again, please visit our website at heraldsofhope.org. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. I invite you to follow us on the various social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, and Telegram, by searching for Heralds of Hope. To contact the Voice of Hope or to send us a gift, you can call us at 866-960-0292, or you can mail it to the Voice of Hope, 6183 Lincoln Highway, Harrisonville, Pennsylvania, 17228, or visit our website at heraldsofhope.org. Your prayers are needed, and your gifts are always welcome. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers, will enable us to work together to win the world for Jesus. Be sure to join us the next time for the Voice of Hope.
There's a sea.